Nashville and beyond.
Hello, Nashville. This is your uprising.
Welcome, welcome. Thanks for tuning in. My name is David.
And I am Christy. And I know David because we work together.
That's right.
Even outside of the radio or the podcast.
Yeah. All kinds of crazy places.
Yes.
Like church.
Church.
We work at Bellevue Presbyterian Church in Bellevue.
And I'm the pastor, and David is.
Worship leader. Extraordinaire.
Mm-hmm.
Wizard of Rock.
He is the Wizard of Rock, which is my favorite title for you. And we have had the opportunity to start podcasting, doing a radio show together. And so that is how Uprising came to be.
Yeah.
And we like to handle different topics that are maybe speaking to our soul in a particular week. And last week, we kind of got some feelings of frustration and anger out of our system, or thought we had. And then by the end of the episode, we said, I still have so much more to say on this topic. And so we decided we wanted to do a follow-up. And I think it's still a timely issue for us and for our country. But thought we'd maybe start off with just talking about checking back in with each other and talking about what's maybe making anything make you angry this week.
We're just still angry, aren't we?
Yeah. I came in angry, but tell.
Yeah, that's right.
You start with yours.
Oh man, all kinds of stuff. Obviously, in the news. I guess we don't want to go too heavy, like, yet, right?
No, we're gonna try to start light. It's early for the radio show, folks. for hippie radio folks, they're listed at 8:30.
Yeah. They're in good. Everyone's in a good mood right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's one thing I was telling you about that. This has been making me angry for a long time, and it's like I've probably done this to someone else at some point without knowing, but it has to do with like being flaky and telling someone you want to hang out with them, and then you try to make it happen, and then you get no response from the person. So I was, I don't need to say names or anything like that, but I recently reconnected with a friend of mine at a show, and we were catching up, had a great back and forth, great conversation, and he was like, we need to do coffee and we need to catch up. I was like, yeah, absolutely. And like, it was a really good conversation. Like, you know, when you catch up with an old friend and mm-hmm. it just goes really well. So I tried to make that happen. I followed up with him, and you know, it was through like a Facebook, mm-hmm. which I don't know, people see their Facebook messages, and I'm assuming. And it even has that little thing that says seen.
Oh, so you know.
You know when they got it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good feature
or not.
So
this was an instant message then on Facebook.
It was.
Okay.
Yeah. And maybe that's not the best way to contact people, but you know, everybody's on
it.
Yeah, everybody's mm-hmm. on it. Anyway, no response, like 2 weeks go by and there's just like, he just like totally ghosted. And it, I shouldn't be all like butthurt about it because, oh, he didn't respond to me on Facebook, but I am. I am butthurt about it because I like the guy, and it's like, let's hang. Let's make this happen. I don't know.
That's such a millennial word.
Which one?
The one you used that I'm not going to use because it's not in my vocabulary.
The one I just used?
Yes.
What, hang?
No.
What? Which, I don't know what word I used.
It starts with a B. It's a conjunction and then hurt.
Oh, butthurt. No.
Yes.
I guess, yeah. I guess I didn't realize.
Nobody puts the Wizard of Rock in a corner.
I didn't realize that's not a widely used term.
Them.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a minor inconvenience. But, I've seen that happen a lot with, like, a lot of times with church folk.
Yeah.
Like, people at church that put that out there.
We should do lunch.
We should do lunch, yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't hang out enough.
We want to have you over for dinner.
And it's like, okay, yeah. Well... And then you actually take steps to rectify that situation, mm-hmm. and you get ghosted, and you get butthurt,
yeah.
if you're me.
I would never do that to you, David.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. And I was trying to do a nice thing for you today, as I often do, which when we come to the studio, because you work hard to get the technological side of things right, and mm-hmm. I'm often running late, and... You're very patient, and so I bring you food, and things just were not working out today, and
yeah,
I kind of came in.
You were fuming when you came in.
Pretty mad.
So you had a bad restaurant experience.
I had a bad takeout experience, and now I'm kind of blaming myself, too, because I should have been responsible enough to look in the bag and make sure that everything that I had ordered was in the bag. But the restaurant was about to close, and I'd forgotten that they closed at 3, and so I was, like, trying to get it. But there's no soup. There's no soup in the bag. But I paid for it. I know I paid for it.
Right.
So I'm left with, okay, we've now just got half salads and cupcakes and none of that incredible soup. So I called hoping that maybe somebody was still there because for some reason I was thinking they opened back up for dinner. But
yeah, I was like, I was getting the show set up. I was setting up the mics and getting out the laptop and going over notes. And like, Christy's still over there on her phone, like calling this restaurant. Like, she's like, I can't start this show until I...
So I get this out. I've got to try to get this resolved. Mm-hmm. In all seriousness, there have been some things happening recently. And in fact, on Ash Wednesday, we offered a couple times at the church where people could just stop in for ashes.
Yeah, ashes on the go.
Or ashes on demand.
Ashes on demand.
Ashes
is that
on
what
demand.
It, okay.
Yes, yes. So,
same thing.
Yeah, I thought it was helpful to some folks who were really... had a lot of big thank yous from people for offering it because they couldn't work it in their schedule to get to some of the services. And
yeah, it was a cool idea.
Yeah, we're going to offer it, the ashes, again on Sunday because I've seen some churches who do it for the first Sunday of Lent. And I think probably if you grew up in church, you're probably familiar with some of the major church season, but Lent is a period for repentance and to... think about the sacrifice of Jesus before Easter as Jesus goes to the cross. And so on Ash Wednesday, there was something that happened in our country that has become all too commonplace, and that is another school shooting. And we have learned that 17 students, and some students and also some teachers, lost their lives in Lakeland, Florida. And I first heard about it while I was on a break after the first period that we offered the ashes. I kind of went back to my office and looked on Facebook and saw a young woman that used to attend the church, sing in our choir, is married and has a toddler who's in a daycare near that high school. And
wow.
He was on lockdown. And she was really venting her fear and frustration and anger at what we've become, what has just become something that happens pretty much, it would seem, on a weekly basis now.
Yeah, it seems like it, or feels like it sometimes.
So as we had been talking about anger in the past episode, and then I've been really intrigued with the idea of anger and creativity and how sometimes I think it's poets and artists who sometimes best articulate for us the things that we're thinking and feeling, or... And I ran across a poet named, I guess he goes by NQ.
Right. In like IN-Q.
IN-Q.
I think that's his artist name.
It's his, yes. Obviously he does have a different name. He wasn't born with that name. But he grew up in California. And I had also discovered him via social media. His stage name is actually Adam... NQ is his stage name, and his real name is Adam Schmalholz.
Okay.
But he is a songwriter and also a poetry slam champion. And he has a poem that I think maybe will speak to the feelings we've had over this last shooting in Lakeland, Florida.
Yeah. This is super powerful.
It really is.
We're going to play in a second. But we don't mean for this to like be polarizing or as... a statement that we're taking like a strong side in this, because it is like a touchy time, I feel like. This is just a really good instance of like a very creative person using anger to voice their opinion.
When is it time to talk about it? After Sandy Hook, when 26 lives were took, the politicians shook their heads and said we shouldn't talk about it. Our nation grieved. They gave their prayers and sent their tweets, but they didn't want to talk about it. We can't politicize this, they said. 20 kids are dead. We have to lay them to rest before we talk about it. Like it was honoring their deaths more to once again ignore the very reasons, but we didn't want to talk about it. And you could take the rhetoric and switch the tragedy. I couldn't tell the difference, which is obvious insanity, but I was just as culpable for what I didn't do or say, because honestly, it hurt too much. I didn't want to talk about it. Well, now I want to talk about it. Private guns have killed more Americans since 1960 than all of our wars combined. Now, personally, that's a statistic that completely blows my mind. Or what about the number of our gun-related homicides? It's higher than any other developed country by 20 times. And that's not only crimes, because on the average, roughly 33,000 people every year lose their lives. If that was terrorism, we would lose our f***ing minds. If that's not terrorism, we have lost our f***ing minds. In fact, maybe terrorism should be redefined, because mass shootings have become a sign of modern times. When do we draw the line? When do we grow a spine and stop using the Second Amendment to hide behind? You want to keep your guns? That's perfectly fine. I'm not arguing to take them away unless you're hunting lions. And yet the NRA accuses me of lying, like secretly I'm trying. That way they change the conversation from the people dying. It's really evil. I am tired of this misleading line they're feeding to the media. The talking points are really just excuses to be greedier, and Congress won't do their jobs because lobbyists have paid them off, so they ignore the problems that they're there to solve. Public service has a private interest when campaign contributions make them liable to the parties that contribute. It's a form of paying tribute, but the dollars make no sense. How can a background check be something that we're against? If the prevailing argument is it's about our mental health, then it's illogical to think that regulations wouldn't help. And while the left and right fight, both are dying in between. It's not the red, white, and blue. It's the red, white, and green. I can't take an open water bottle on a plane, but I can walk around Nevada with an AR-15. Can't you hear the children scream? Can't you hear the children scream? Can't you hear the children? Can't you hear them? Can't you hear them scream? You're on the wrong side of history. There is no in-between. When you look back in 20 years, tell me who you want to be. Can't you hear the children? Can't you hear them? Can't you hear them scream? It echoes through the halls of schools that were replaced by crime scenes. Can't you see the children? Can't you see them? Can't you see them bleed? Can't you see their parents seeing them in each and every dream? When the news vans have left and they're left with quiet streets and private grief, but they can't leave, they can't leave, they can't leave. So they count the seconds, minutes, hours, days, and nights and weeks, dealing with a pain so deep that it's awake inside of sleep. It's in their bones and in their smiles and in their hair and in their speech, and in the morning they remember tears streaming down their cheeks, chest heaving from the morning. It's impossible to breathe, and at that point it doesn't matter what you once believed.
Well, that was a very emotional piece by NQ, a writer and poet you introduced me to today, Christy. And yeah, that we're talking about anger and creativity, and what better example of convergence of those two things. In yeah. that it's actually, it's a video. I'd recommend watching the video as well, because it conveys the emotion that much more, seeing his face up close as he talks about that. But yeah, I think man, so many people are just feeling that way. I mean, frustrated, angry, PO'd about lack of change, you know. I don't know. It's there's really no words for it yet. I mean, there are, but it's hard to talk about, because it's such a sad thing and it's such a common thing, and I hate that it's such a common thing. And I think that's where the frustration's coming from. Like, it's not just an isolated incident; it's a recurring tragedy, series of tragedies that keeps happening in this country more than any other country. You know, it's like that is downright frustrating.
And I think that certainly as a preacher, you know, when I think about what we need to talk about, like this Sunday, you know, as we gather together as a people, you know, how do you not, particularly in the midst of a Lenten season where we are repenting, that this is something that we need to repent of, the violence, you know, that we that we see in our world when we follow a Prince of Peace. You think about how, you know, gosh, how does God feel about this? So this, with this Sunday being the first Sunday of Lent, just particularly thinking about how we're called to repent, and there's a line from a hymn that, or a phrase that keeps going around my head about beseeching God to cure our warring madness. And, you know, I think that as human beings, we have so many destructive tendencies, and, you know, we're seeing this play out these again and again and again, the angry young men, angry people picking up arms, and and just the devastation of so many lives. And, you know, I can't imagine what it is to be the clergy who will be officiating at so many funerals. That popped into my head today, too. I know, because I saw there was a funeral for one of the teenagers, Alyssa, today.
Yeah.
And so I had raised to you, David, the questions about, you know, what do we do with anger, too, in our spiritual walk? And is it okay to be angry with God? You know, I think we're feeling, our country's feeling a lot of anger toward our leaders, you know, special interest groups, toward each other. But I would imagine for those people that have lost a child, or their husband didn't come home, or their father didn't come home, that I wonder if they ask the question, you know, where was God? Where's God in all of that?
And sure.
Of course, my first thought is I think God is weeping along with them. But I was intrigued by, as I did some digging just in, you know, our feelings about anger and God, because it raised that question, is it okay to be angry with God? Because I've had members in the past who, when I've asked that question, who have said, no, it's not.
Right.
Now, I don't personally believe that, because I think that the creativity of Scripture and the art in Scripture, the words of Scripture, I think paint a picture that we have permission to take all of our feelings to God. And I certainly would point to the book of Job for that. But yet I ran across an article by Harold Kushner, who is a rabbi. Many people know of Harold Kushner from a very famous book he wrote called When Bad Things Happen to Good People. But he wrote this piece called Furious with God. And he wrote it for Jewish High Holy Days. And in it, he talks about how the opening chapters of the book of Deuteronomy are read during the weeks before the High Holy Days. And that in those, that Moses does something completely out of character. And he expresses his anger at God. And he complains that God has treated him unfairly because God is not allowing him to enter into the promised land. And he said, whenever I would read that, he said, I would be surprised, and I would attribute his feelings to his advanced age and fatigue. And then Kushner says, a few years ago, he said, though I heard a lecture by Professor Aviva Zornberg of Jerusalem on the subject of Moses' anger at God. And she suggests that Moses did that deliberately as a way of giving the Israelites permission to vent their anger at God, which they promptly do. And they say in Scripture, this is the Israelites, God must hate us to have made us wander in this desert for 40 years. If God loved us, he would have let us remain in Egypt and sent the Egyptians into the desert.
That's from the Bible? That's from Scripture?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Those feelings that are expressed by the Israelites. And, you know, I'd never heard that interpretation before. And I think, you know, And Lent is also very much about what we feel when we are in the wilderness experiences of our life. And in fact, today, we'll also be hearing from the Gospel of Mark chapter 1, where Jesus goes out into the wilderness, into the desert. Those kind of two words are used interchangeably, because the wilderness of Jesus' geography was a desert. Mm-hmm. You know, so he goes out to be tempted, and that lasts for 40 days, tempted by Satan. And then he begins his public ministry. But those periods of wilderness for us can last a really long time. And I would imagine that, you know, the Israelites probably while they were out there for 40 years, not 40 days, but 40 years, must have wondered where was God. And
yeah, I can't imagine.
And was he angry at them? Did he hate them? Had he abandoned them? And they had to have had some feelings of anger.
Yeah, that's kind of the flip side of like being angry at God. It's like, well, was God angry at me?
You wonder if it's punishment.
Right.
And I think that we in America are in a wilderness time. So Lent is the season that prepares us for something new and something better for the resurrection of Christ. But we go through the wilderness experience along with Jesus. And I think America's in a wilderness experience right now as we are looking for a new way to be as a people. And perhaps God is at work in ways we can't see. But God does. He can bring beautiful things out of the dust and dirt and wilderness of our lives, of the desert experiences, where we feel lost and we wonder where he is. And so we do have a song that has become a favorite, I know, of ours. And you've performed this before, and we'll be doing it again Sunday. But what do you want to share anything with us, David, on this song?
I do love this song. This is by Gungor, also known as Michael Gungor. And it's called Beautiful Things. It's him and his wife, Lisa Gungor. She sings on it as well. And we got a chance to meet both of them at a show they did in Rockettown.
That was great.
And a little meet and greet afterwards. Very interesting, awesome musical couple. But here is Beautiful Things by Gungor.
All this pain, I wonder if I'll ever find my way. I wonder if my life could really change at all. All this earth, could all that is lost ever be found? Could a garden come up from this ground at all? You make beautiful things, you make beautiful things out of the dust. You make beautiful things, you make beautiful things out of us. Out of the dust. You
That was Beautiful Things by Gungor. And the Bellevue Presbyterian Band will be playing that one today at our service at 10:30. We invite you to join us for worship. And we did that song last year as well for an Ash Wednesday service. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about how this past Wednesday, Christy, you were doing the Ashes on the go.
On demand.
Oh my gosh, I did it again.
On demand.
Ashes on demand.
It could be to go next year, you never know.
Right.
On demand.
And mm-hmm. so I got my Ashes on demand, and then I went over to join Touchstone, which is a youth group that we work with. And a lot of the kids, they noticed the ashes on my forehead, and they were like, what is that, dude? Like, you got something on your face there. And I was like, oh, this is for Ash Wednesday. And they're like, what's that? And I was like, it's this thing the church does every year and don't know how to explain it to a high schooler or like a middle schooler. And conversation just kind of stopped there.
Oh,
I was
no.
like, go talk to Pastor Christy. And then Jim, who leads Touchstone, he was like, yeah, you know what? I never really knew what Ash Wednesday is all about.
Now some of them will get to find out because they're coming to church on Sunday. So.
And then I was talking to my mom today, and she was like, yeah, I know it's the beginning of Lent, but what is Ash Wednesday? I'm like, okay, Pastor Christy, tell us. What is Ash Wednesday?
Well, it begins, it marks the beginning of Lent, and Scripture talks about how when we repent, you know, we often, or they would tell stories of people who would repent in sackcloth and mm-hmm. ashes as an outward sign of that repentance. And, you know, repentance is about being sorry for our sins. Our sins are our mistakes, our shortcomings, our failings, things we do wrong. It can also be the things we should do that we fail to do. And when you think about, you know, our sins, we usually think of something dusty or dirty. And also, it is a reminder of who we are in relationship to God, that in Genesis, God forms us out of the dust of the earth. And so when you get the sign of the cross on your forehead, the pastor or the priest will say, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And it's just a reminder of our mortality before an infinite God, and our need for him, and our need to go to him in repentance and in sorrow for our sins. And I also can't help but think about the picture that's been making the rounds of the shooting in Lakeland, that most folks will probably have seen, the two women, you know, and you can surmise that they may be two mothers, and one is a blonde woman, long hair, and she has a large cross made of ashes on her forehead. So it was clear that she had been in church earlier that day.
Yeah, that was a pretty powerful image.
Yeah, she's holding another woman who's sobbing. But we're going to be singing a song this morning in church that is called Sunday's Palms or Wednesday's Ashes. And we also, in many churches, and I did this on Tuesday, I took the dried palms that we'd used on Palm Sunday last year and burned them to make the ashes that go on our forehead. And it's a reminder that, you know, we sort of symbolically, like the people who can praise Jesus at one moment and then, you know, terribly hurt our God in the other, and by our sins and by our actions. And so here are some lines from the song. Sunday's palms are Wednesday's ashes as another Lent begins. Thus we kneel before our Maker in contrition for our sins. We have failed to love our neighbors, their offenses to forgive, have not listened to their troubles, nor have cared just how they live. We are jealous, proud, impatient, loving overmuch our things, and may the yielding of our failings be our Lenten offerings. So I hope this is a time for us as we go through this Lenten journey and wilderness together to offer ourselves to God and journey to a new way of being and a new resurrected life together.
Very cool. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We are out of time, but visit us on our website, www.nashvilleuprising.com, and also search for our podcast where you can find past episodes of Uprising. Just search for Bellevue Uprising in podcasts.
And you can find us on Facebook if you look for Uprising. So
that's right.
And we hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next week.
Peace out.
Nice. Good.